Good evening, and welcome to this episode of Under the Helmet. Well, it's almost that time. The APDFL season is about to kick off in a little more than a month and change. With that comes the initial rankings. Now, they've been asked about, they've been talked about, bantered about. With me to discuss them are Crescent City Kings GM, VP, Sherm Gillum. Sherm, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great, Terry. How about yourself?
Not bad. Just trying to, you know, stay out of this cold. Also with us is Alabama Blackhawks offensive lineman Chris McCarroll. Good evening, Chris.
How you doing, Terry?
Man, how you doing, man? Now, these rankings are interesting to me because I've been looking over them for like an hour or so and kind of seeing what's what. So we're just going to kind of jump right into it. The 29th spot is the Raiders. Now, the Raiders, I think they're the South Georgia Raiders. They were formerly the Ducks in a different incarnation in the league. Their owner has been in APDFL. Sherm, to you, as someone who has started a team from scratch and has switched leagues, how difficult is it to switch leagues?
It depends upon the level of competition you're walking into. Of course, we came from the GDFL into the APDFL, and I think the GDFL prepared us for competition in other leagues. So as far as competition-wise, I think we were prepped to take on competition in the APDFL. We haven't capitalized off of our talents and coaching so far, not advancing too far into the playoffs. But I think starting out in a strong league like the GDFL helped us transfer over into another strong league like the APDFL.
Now, Chris, now you have played on different teams in the Alabama area. That brings us to the 28th team, which is the West Mobile 49ers. Now, can you explain to people how difficult – I heard that laugh. How difficult is it for a team struggling to find a foothold in the state of Alabama to see success?
Together, like I said, you got to come together or evict or shoot. You either have to pick out your weak points and sell out your team and find somebody who's going to play some football.
Now, that brings us to the 27th ranked team, the Crescent City Rampage. Sherm, similar question to you, where New Orleans traditionally has been a fertile ground for semi-pro developmental, even just football talent in general. How difficult is it for a team like the Rampage to find long-term success?
Well, first of all, they have to start off with staying together. It's easy to find players. I wouldn't say easy to find players, but it's difficult to keep your squads together, whether people are just getting their feet wet into the league and then certain teams and then scouting out who's the better team and then wanting to leave. If you can get your players to buy into what you're doing and where you're headed and keep them together from year to year, you know, you can come up pretty fast that way. But so much going on around in New Orleans is just, you know, team jumping and, you know, the talent waters down that way. And also, it's just hard keeping players interested in your end programs year after year. Of course, as players get older, you know, their attention become, you know, elsewhere, whether it's family, growth of your family, having kids or your jobs, things like that. It can be pretty difficult. And Rampage keeps a young squad. So if they can find a way to grow, stay together and mold, then they can come up as one of the better teams in the league eventually.
Now, if we go to 26, which is the Hub City Hellcats, 25, which is the Atlanta Tigers, and 24 is the Alabama Wolfpack. Now, Chris, these three teams join from other leagues that may not have been the strongest competition-wise. When you first stepped foot in the APDFL, what was the biggest adjustment you had to make?
Me personally, my biggest adjustment was finding that one strict position instead of stepping from center to guard to tackle. Because when the Blackhawks first formed, we joined the APDFL, and there was a lot of powerhouse teams like Georgia Kane. And we was missing those pieces, as in the offensive linemen and a few little skill players, but mainly just had to adjust to staying at one position.
Now, as we go forward, with the Wolfpack, they were in another league, Chris. What do you think they bring to the table?
Now that everybody went back to their teams, I can't say, but I know Coach Chad, he's got some cooking up over there. I feel like they might be a sleeper. I'm saying might, but who knows? Only time will tell when game day come.
Moving up the list, we have the Tri-City Savages at 23, the Steel City Raptors at 22, and the Pensacola Jets at 21. Now, Sherm, when you look at the Jets, Fred Barnett runs a good team as far as organizational, as far as marketing. Why don't you think that more teams try to market and solicit sponsors with as the ferocity that Fred does, as you do?
Well, probably the biggest reason would be laziness of the front office. Teams are content with just paying for the season out of the pockets of their players. Players are happy to fork over the money as long as they feel like they're going to get playing time or starting or whatever. It's something that the Kings, we started out getting away from, and we continue that to this day. We talked to a lot of people throughout the off season, trying to gather up sponsors, looking for ways to fundraise, just to stay self-sufficient. But I think the biggest part is just laziness. People don't like talking to other folks about money. I've been told no, or I'll call you back, and never heard back from people numerous of times. It gets depressing sometimes, but as an owner, you can't complain because this is what you chose to do. So we do it. I mean, we come out of our pockets with whatever we need to put on a season. We don't complain about it, but if we can find a sponsor or two to give us a hand with the process, then it's more than welcomed.
As we go toward the number one, we have the Bayou Lacombe Cardinals at 20, the Selma City Vikings at 19, and the Columbus Storm at 18. Chris, for a few years, the Vikings have stood on the outside of the outside. They made the playoffs the first year I covered the league, but as far as breaking through, do you believe this is the year that they break through and make a shot, run at the playoffs, or do you think they're far away? If not, why?
I think they do make that run this year. I think it's their breakthrough year. They found a couple of pieces, and I think they're gonna make the playoffs.
Now, Chris, when we look at the Storm came in with a lot of hype and a lot of self-promotion. They were understandably disappointed when they lost to the East Alabama Predators, but do you think in their second year of existence that as an organization they will look at their early approach to the game and try to improve upon it, or do you think they will just kind of keep it business as usual?
I think everything should stay the same. I know the coach, the head coach, the owner, Todd Drink, I played with him at Marlin City Tigers, and, of course, at the Sabres also. I think he putting something together over there. I believe in him. I think he's gonna make a good push. But the big test is when they play the dynasty. That's gonna be the big test for those guys.
That's the game that they wanted. Their owner decided to call them out and make it a public deal. And I'm of the mind of be careful of what you wish for.
When we were playing with the Sabres that day of the championship game, he told me he wanted to play them. I said, hey, go ahead. All I can say is they play as one team. One team, one sign. Good luck.
It's a lot to bite off. Now, Sherm, as we look at 17, which is the Alabama Tigers, 16, which is the Central Florida Gators, and 15, which are the Georgia Noles. Of those three teams, is there any one of those three that would stand out to you, or you're more of like they're going to be speed bumps, basically?
Well, I don't know much about either three. Of course, I think last season the Gators made a lot of noise, whether they backed it up or not. They stayed in the spotlight of social media. Of course, it didn't necessarily relate to wins or losses on the football field, but of those three, they would be the most noticeable one to me. As far as the Alabama Tigers, the only thing I know about them is, from them playing the Louisiana Lightning. We'll see this year. We have to go to Red Level to play the Tigers. We'll see what they're made of then.
They're a confident group. I will give them that. They are not ones to back down, and I kind of appreciate the moxie they show. Now, scrolling up that list, we have the Garden City Seahawks at 14, the Tuskegee Airmen at 13, and the Georgia Thrashers at 12. Now, before I get to Chris, I interviewed the Thrashers coach, Coach Adams, on Friday, and I will tell you this. Their quarterback, he's going to be a problem. If they get solid, consistent blocking, they're going to be a problem. They will be a headache for somebody. The pieces have to kind of fit and slide into the rest. But, Chris, to you, when you look at the Airmen, they've undergone so much turnover over the last few years as far as different talent coming in for a year, shifting quarterbacks, shifting teams. Is this finally the mix that they have worthy of a playoff spot, or do you think that they still have holes to fill?
Spot right there. No playoff. No. No, I'm going to stop you right there. No.
What strikes you as the no? Like, what's like no to you?
Their players, they have the big head. Especially, he was number 10 last year. I guess he's number one. The Andrew Tate guy. The one doing all the talking on the page, they have some people like him, and that's not good. He is not good at all, and you don't need those type of players on that team to get the big head. They don't have all those pieces they had from a year and a half ago. Other people, I think they lost the touch when they left.
So do you think this will be like a struggle season?
Yes.
Now, while Sherm gets reconnected, while we look at 10, you have the XSR. We're going to look at 11, which is the Pike County Titans. And at 10, you have the Metro Atlanta Horsemen. Now, with the Horsemen, Chris, you've seen them play in another league. Break them down as far as what you saw, what you like, what you didn't like, and what they can improve upon.
Honestly, I didn't see anything I didn't like. I'm not going to judge off that preseason game they played, even though they missed a couple of skill players. But what got me, they had a full offensive line and a defensive line. As you know, if you have a good line, your quarterback can be mediocre. So that really shouldn't be an excuse. But I think that should come in where a bond with your players as each other. You should know if you got your back start quarterback is not in, your backup should, hey, you should know what the hell he doing. But overall, as a team, I give credit what it do. I think they're pretty decent.
Now, Sherm, to you, since you're back, we have the Louisiana Lightning at 9 and the Panhandle Crusaders at 8 and your Crescent City Kings at 7. With the Lightning and the fact that Kings and Lightning have exchanged players as far as players joining each team going back and forth, how much of that familiarity helps game planning?
Well, I mean, it helps because you're familiar with the skill set of the players that swap teams, the players that come over from the Lightning. You know what they're capable of doing. You know what they, you know, how to improve upon what they can and can't do. And also, you know, the tendencies of the players that left. So if you're a coach that pays attention to players and watch film and things like that, such as we do, then you understand what you can do against certain players and how you can use incoming players. So we Coach Animal is pretty good at knowing personnel, knowing other personnel. So it really doesn't faze us who stays, who goes. At the end of the day, it all comes down to execution and whose game plan is the best.
Now, Chris, you have EAP at 6, and you have the Orlando Phantoms at 5. With EAP, they have one of the most quietly athletic teams in the APDFL. I asked you a similar question with the Airmen as far as EAP. EAP made the playoffs last few years and actually has played very well. Is this their time to shock somebody in the second round?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I see them making the playoffs, but the second round is, I don't think so.
Is it more of like they need a little more time to season, or they might be a player or two away?
I think they need a couple more players that will help seal their deal.
Now, Chris, follow up with the Orlando Phantoms. You saw them play down in Florida. They won one of the numerous national championship games today. What is it about them that makes them a threat?
They play together. I didn't really get the – see, I'm in Florida now, but I didn't get the chance to see them play, but I watched it live. They was playing good. They played together against a good Middle Tennessee team. I don't know too much if they had any players missing, but – They shocked the hell out of me today. They played together.
Now, Sherm, to you, when you look at 4, it is the Gulf Coast Gators. They have signed a bunch of the former Mobile Generals, the Mobile of the South Alabama Dolphins. Same team, different name, but when you have that much talent at every position, some have said that's a bad thing because you have almost too much talent where the reps are sparse and people will tend to get a little upset that they're not getting enough field time. Is there such thing as too much talent on the field or on a roster?
Well, it would depend upon the mindset of the player. Of course, you know, too much talent can be a coach's dream or a coach's nightmare. It all depends on how the coach handles his players. If he shows more favoritism toward the players that's been there, then it can be pretty aggravating to those incoming. If he can get the players that's incoming to buy into their scheme, their coach lets them understand that everyone's going to play either key situations or as needed, special teams, whatever. If they all buy into that, then that would be his blessing. If he don't get into the ears and the heads of the new incoming players and get them to see his vision and how they do things down there, then it'll definitely be a nightmare. There's nothing worse than having players in your ear. Someone drops a pass, you have two receivers in your ear and talking about putting me in this, that, the other. We keep a small roster, and I think for us, for the Kings, the smaller the roster, the better, because we don't have all that jostling on the sideline, nor does Animal allow that. But you get a 53-man roster, man, and everyone thinks that they belong on the field at one time, it could definitely be a problem, and it could tear a team apart.
Now, number three is the Alabama Blackhawks. Chris, this is your team. This is your squad. COVID took the 2020 season from everybody. But in the time away, what do you think the Blackhawks' focus will be going into the season as far as improving weaknesses and strengthening their already, you know, strong defense?
Say that again, Peter.
With COVID that pretty much took the 2020 season away, what do you think the Blackhawks' main focus as far as trying to strengthen the weaknesses, and what is the mindset of the team going into 2021?
Same thing as supposed to have been last season. Everybody's back. We added a few more touches to our wide receiver core and some of our defensive backs. Same mind frame, so just a different year. So we just aiming to go to the top.
Now, you guys were close a couple of years ago. and we talked about last time how that loss still stings with you, but you played a lot of football since then. As you move further away from that loss, does that loss sting less for you, Chris, or is it still like, I need to just, yeah?
No, I want to actually play that game back. I would love to play that game back. That loss there alone, that left a big gap in my heart.
Now, Sherm, to you, the number two team in the PDFL, according to the rankings, is the Georgia Cobras. When you have two good wideouts, Harry McGriff, LeVon Downs, you have a quarterback in Marcus Brooks, you have the running back now in J-Rock Lewis. When you have a potent offense, especially in semi-pro, that you could actually, you know, a dual threat run and pass, is it safe to say that if a team has that strong of an offense that they can afford to cut corners on defense, or are you the kind of GM where you need to build a punch-in-the-mouth defense no matter what you have on offense?
Well, you definitely need both. I'm not sure about having an above-par offense and a sub-par defense. All you get is a shootout and a high-scoring one. Whoever gets held first can probably lose the game because of that one possession. So you need to balance your team out, but it definitely doesn't hurt to have a bunch of Cadillacs on offense. So I think that's a problem a lot of teams would like to have. you know, two top tier receivers and a great running back like J. Rock. So, you know,
it can't hurt. Definitely. Now, Christy, the number one team, of course, is the Mississippi Dynasty. When you look at the Dynasty, you have lined up against them in Pearl, you have lined up against them in Birmingham, you will line up against them in Pearl this year. What is it about the interior of that line that, to someone who has never played them, that they might not understand?
Those guys, the front four alone, you have to keep a good level head. One, they talk shit. Two, they bag it up. Hey, you got to be on one hell of a pinpoint to play against those front four or get alone. Those guys, they are stocky. They eat cows for a living. If y'all listen to this, old fucker will. Yeah, they eat cows. Those are some big old guys. Yeah, but overall, man, you have to be on your P's and Q's dealing with those guys. They play on one accord. They don't argue. That's one thing I can say about those guys. They play as a team, no pointing, no eyes, no nothing. They all play together. And that's what makes it hard for not only us, but for everybody else. It makes it hard. You got to stick together, man. You know, these old guys, you have to capitalize on everything they give you. If not, you in for a run for your money.
Now, Sherm, as a Hall of Fame interior lineman yourself, when you play against two stout defensive tackles, and how much trust do you have to have as far as the center on your guards being able to help out and not leave you hanging?
Well, dude, I mean, it has to be total trust in them, because it makes the center look good and it makes the center look bad. So if one on either side isn't up to par, man, it can be a nightmare. It's bad enough having to make sure that you can, you know, get off a good snap, get off a good pistol snap, and then concentrate on the man in your gap or up over your head. So sometimes you might get a nose tackle that's not up to par. You can take them yourself, and sometimes you can get a young bull, and you definitely need to rely upon the man next to you. Now, you know, certain defenses run certain schemes to where, you know, sometimes you can get limited help, but you have to go at it, you know, go at it alone once you get a chip or something, because, you know, they'll catch you helping out so much and start running blitzes up your alley. Then the guard starts taking the heat for what's happening on that end. So you definitely have to be on par yourself. And, you know, over the years for myself, I've been lucky that I've had pretty good guards on either side of me. So, but I definitely know what can happen if they're not up to par to help, or if they do, you know, do a good job in making sure you're covered.
Now, Chris, you've heard the entire list, and for those who haven't, I'm going to repeat it one more time. I'm going to go fly through it real quick. Going from 29 to 1, the Raiders, 49ers, Rampage, Hellcats, Tigers, Wolfpack, Savages, Raptors, Jets, Cardinals, Vikings, Storm, Alabama Tigers, Central Florida Gators, Knolls, Seahawks, Airmen, Thrashers, Titans, Horsemen, Lightning, Crusaders, Kings, Predators, Phantoms, Gulf Coast Gators, Blackhawks, Cobras, Dynasty. Of those 29 teams, actually, no, just I'll get the team question in a second. As far as a player, who's the one player in this league that you've had to block where you didn't see what the big deal was?
Nobody. I had to go through that. Yeah. No, only big person that I really went up against was Lewis. That was it. But he was a hell of a interior line, defensive lineman. But other than that, no, I haven't had that problem.
Or let me ask this. You've heard the list. What are those teams that you see will fall flat on their face and not make an impact? All those 29 teams I read to you.
I would go with Tuskegee.
Ooh.
Yes. That's is a big shot to them.
I mean, that is – I mean, is it just – you said there's a big head. Is it more of just guys think, you know, they're going out of their lane or just –
going out their lane, think they good, but nah, Tuskegee is one of them. I want to say the Crusaders.
Really?
I want to say the Crusaders. Don't quote me on that, but I'm thinking the Crusaders as well, and that'll be it.
Now, Sherm, of those 29 teams, of course you're not going to mention them, but what of those teams do you think that will have the most trouble?
I could potentially see, like the question you asked me with the Gulf Coast Gators, bringing in so much talent that it could be a detriment. I wouldn't say that they'll have a terrible season, but I think that in the long run, it might pose itself as being a problem. We'll see just how they deal with having so many good players that they're bringing in, so many good players that they've been had. We'll see how they work with them. I guess we're gonna find out early because they meet the Dynasty week one.
Now, so, Chris, you are playing the Horsemen. I think we at the Classic, right?
Correct.
Now, they have entered the league with a lot of confidence and a lot of self-assuredness. Do they have any idea what they're in for?
No, they don't. No, they don't. No.
Now, from their video, they have a quarterback with a good arm. I like, and they have a good receiver, and they have pieces of that are interesting. Do they have enough offensive line to be able to withstand the defense?
No.
Now, I don't want to put you in the spot, but are you wanting to, like, you know, pick a score?
I say Blackhawks 27, Horsemen 14.
Okay. Now, Sherm, different question to you. You guys have the Dynasty schedule, and you have a lot of Mississippi teams. Now, how much pride do you take to be able to step into the state of Mississippi and win games?
Well, over the years, we've had a lot of success in the state of Mississippi. I guess our main focus, well, we play the Dynasty at home. Mm-hmm. Of course, the first time we played them at home, we beat them under whatever circumstances. Light went out, lights came back on. We walked away with the win. We went to them the following year and jumped on them early, but didn't sustain the lead, and came back and beat us. As far as going into Mississippi, we look forward to it. We play the I think the Titans. Are they still in the league? I didn't hear you mention it.
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
We play the Titans. We play the Savages in Mississippi. I think we can overcome those two games. I think the only team we have visiting us from Mississippi is the Dynasty. So we definitely look forward to playing the Dynasty. That, of course, that's a big game for us. So we'll be up for that. But as far as playing, you know, Alabama, Florida also, we've had pretty good success over most states except for, I believe, Georgia. I think we're on the winning side, but not by much. So we'll be prepared for the Dynasty, one way or the other.
Now, last question is, it's still football related, but Chris, to you, I'm sure you've watched the, I'm not sure if you watched the football this week, but pretty much the, it'll be the Green Bay Packers versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who wins that game and why?
I have to go with my boy Brady. I have to. But this hurt me. But I think Aaron Rodgers will pull through. Their defense is going to help them out majorly.
Do you see it being close?
Yes. It's going to be the close one.
Now, Sherm, on the other hand, you have the Buffalo Bills versus the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. Do the Bills have any shot of pulling a major upset?
I think they do. I think after watching what I watched today, I think Buffalo probably has a little bit better defense than Kansas City has. Kansas City is a lot more efficient on offense, where their offense is fluent. They don't make a lot of mistakes. So it'll definitely be a high-scoring game. But it'll be a close, high-scoring game. So I think that'll be the game of the weekend, basically. But I think in the end it'll be Kansas City versus Green Bay.
Now, as a Raider fan, as my covers the Raiders, I watched the Las Vegas Raiders put 71 points in two games against the Chiefs. They won one and lost another. And it is hard watching. They beat the Saints. They beat the Browns. They beat the Chiefs. Staying home. And I just, it's hard watching it because you know you have an average quarterback and a coach who has a 10-year contract. So I'm just pretty much trying to wait him out. So think about it like this. I have a 4-year-old. So by the time my 4-year-old is in the fourth grade, the Raiders will have a new coach. And I'll be 53 years old. So that's some right there. Chris McCarroll, Sherm Gillum, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Under the Helmet. Take care of yourselves. Take care, each other. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.